Okay, the date is Saturday the 11th of July 2015. My name is Clara Manassian-Cook. I'm here in the music room of the Shaw Library at LSE. I'm conducting interviews with alumni from LSE for the LSE Oral History Project for the 120th anniversary. I'm here with Sandra Cook. Sandra, please can you state your name and your date of birth?
Yes, my name is Sandra Cook. I was born October 29th, 1942. I first came to the LSE in 1977.
And what did you come here to study?
Analysis, design, and management of information systems.
Why did you choose to come to LSE to study that?
Well, I didn't actually choose to come to LSE to study that particular, to take that particular course. I wanted very much to have the experience of studying at the LSE. And when I found out they were giving that course, it was the first year they'd ever given it, so there was no history behind it. I thought that sounded good in terms of job availability at the end. So I took that course because I thought it would be good for my career. I already had a PhD in a very theoretical subject, and I wanted to get something that was much more practical.
Where had you previously studied?
I studied at the University of Kansas, at Washington University in St. Louis, at Wayne State University in Detroit, at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut, and at UC Berkeley.
So you came to do a postgraduate degree?
That's right.
And how did you first hear about LSE?
Well, I'm not sure. It had just been, I had wanted to come, actually I had a Woodrow Wilson Fellowship when I finished my undergraduate work to come to England to study. And I didn't take it because I got married instead. And I think that the LSE was just part of the background of looking at universities in the UK, which had been much earlier.
What was your first impressions of the campus?
Well, the whole city of London in the mid-70s was very, very much had the flavor of kind of post-World War II. In the sense that a lot of the buildings were covered with soot. They were very grimy and gray and black. And the city was kind of like that. It was dirty. Very different from what you see now, which everything just glistens by comparison. You know, the buildings are clean and everything is very new and sparkling. The LSE campus was, I don't think I even really thought about it. I was just so keen to get in and do the work that I don't think I really thought about what the place looked like. It just looked like the rest of London to me. And I'd say that it was a lot smaller than I thought it would be. It was very compact. We didn't have, in that time, we didn't have all these new buildings that you have now. I mean, you've got tons of new space. It was just very crowded and very compact.
Were you living in halls of residence?
No. I was living in a house. Just ask me where I was living, and I was not in a hall of residence. I was in a private house that I rented.
How did you find the faculty that taught you?
You mean, well, what did I think of them? Well, there were several people involved in that program, and each one of them had different courses that they taught. Some of them were just excellent, and some were less wonderful. So, and I imagine that's pretty typical of, you know, you get into a department, and some of the people are world-class, and some people aren't. So it was varied.
Did you find the work challenging?
Oh, yes, I found the work challenging. And it was more challenging than I thought it would be, actually. And I had to work pretty hard to keep up.
Were the resources, in order to do well at the course, were the resources available?
Well, what kinds of resources, like libraries and things like that? Well, I don't, you know, a course like information systems, there wasn't really a lot of library work involved with that. But there was computing work involved with it, and I didn't think that the computing resources were very outstanding. So, for example, I learned to program a computer in a language called Fortran And we submitted, you had to create the program by punching paper cards, punch cards they were called. And then you would submit your program, your job. You know, you'd have a whole pile of these punch cards, and you would submit the pile to somebody, and they would run the program overnight, and you would come back and pick it up the next day. Well, if you made one typo in those punch cards, in one typo on one card in that whole stack, the program would fail. So you'd have to figure out where the problem was. You'd have to repunch or whatever, and then take it back another day. And so you'd have to wait. You'd be behind, right? So I thought that the computing resources weren't very good. And they, particularly when you figure that the course was to teach people how to use and manage and design information systems, which have computers as a component.
Change in technology has improved.
I'm sure it has.
Degree.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. I'm sure it has just completely, I'm sure it's unrecognizable from what it was. At the time that I took that course, I think computing in general was, and I say this with all respect, but I think it was a bit ahead in the United States. And it wasn't quite as ahead here. And now I wouldn't imagine that there's any kind of, that you would distinguish that at all. And anyway, the way computer programs are developed and written and so forth now has gone way beyond that. I mean, I think that whole, I think this is a bit of an historical artifact, this whole punching the card, submitting them to the machine. I mean, I think that's pretty entertaining. And if anybody does listen to this in 30 years, they won't even know what somebody's talking about when they describe this process.
Did you find that the way you were taught LSE was different than in American universities?
Well, not too much. There were my experience in the United States had been that I would go to lectures, and you know, the instructors would make assignments, and I would complete them, and then I would take tests and write papers, and that was pretty much the way it was here, except for the fact that there were these massive exams at the end, of the course, and studying for those. There was even a period of time that was allocated to studying for the exams, and that was different. Having it all at the end like that was very, to me, it was nerve-wracking. And I did very well, but I'll tell you, it blew my brains out. I was just not accustomed to that method of teaching where all those exams came at the end, and it was hard for me.
What was the main highlight?
The people I met, certainly, you know, I still am friends with some of the instructors I had. Professor Frank Land, for example, was head of that program, and he and his wife Elsa were both professors at the LSE. Elsa was never involved with this particular program that I was in, but I did get to know both of them very well, and I'm still friends with them. They live in Devon now. They're retired. So amongst both the faculty and the students, especially amongst the faculty, I have really lasting friendships that resulted. And I loved meeting all the people from all over the world. There were a number of students in my course who were from Iran, and they had left. They were probably with families who were supporters of the Shah of Iran, and they had that whole social class had just been kind of, you know, they all left at once after the Shah was deposed or around the time the Shah was deposed. I subsequently went to Iran, and I never met anybody in my life who was Iranian before that. I also met a number of Indians whom I had never met, because in the United States there were certain Asian exclusion acts and things like that that really restricted immigration from certain parts of the world. That's not like that anymore at all. I mean, in fact, the reverse is true. But at that time, I hadn't met people from India, and I was completely energized by that. I ate in Indian restaurants. I subsequently visited India. Now I've been there more than 50 times. So it really broadened my perspective in terms of people from other parts of the world, and I love that aspect of it. The people whom I met here and the diversity of the both the faculty and the students is probably a high point.
In keeping with that theme, were you involved in any social activities at LSE, like any of the clubs or any of the sort of student social activities?
Not really. I had two children, so I kind of went right home and took care of them. I mean, I really had to, you know, optimize my time here at the school. But I did sing in the choir. I think there was a choir because I remember being in the Shaw Library and singing, and it must have been because there was a choir or something.
Did you sing in Christmas concerts?
Yeah. I loved it. It was fantastic. I think it's the only other time I've ever been in the Shaw Library. I walked in there yesterday, and I thought, I've been here before. This is fantastic. But I had so much the nose to the grindstone that I didn't take part in any of the social activities, really. I was an adult student. I mean, I was already, you know, way past. So as a master's degree student, there would be a lot of people who were in their 20s. I was in my
30s. Was the atmosphere of LSE changing along with political movements or
yes.
social movements at the time?
It very much was changing along with political and social movements, and I became much more aware of, it's a very odd thing being in a country where you can't vote. You can't vote. I couldn't vote here. I didn't know any of the issues. I was completely out of sync with what was going on in the United States. So I felt I felt really apolitical about the whole thing. For the first time in my life, I just didn't seem to care about who was elected to what. But as I spent time here, I got more and more interested in English politics. And, of course, the school itself is very much a center for a lot of activity around politics and so forth. And I liked that very much. I got real interested in it.
And how has the experience at LSE helped you go on to do other things afterwards?
Well, I think it's been hugely helpful. I mean, the LSE is widely respected all over the world. And nobody cares, for example, that I went to the University of Kansas, even though that's a very good undergraduate school, produces lots of Rhodes Scholars. People come to study in Oxford and so forth. But I would always get lots of points whomever I was meeting or something, if I said that I had attended and got a degree from the LSE. I also worked here. After I finished my degree here, I stayed on and worked at the school. I was a research officer. I did a little bit of lecturing. And
in which department was that?
In the same department, Analysis, Design, and Management of Information Systems. And, you know, somebody was asking me what department it was in, and I think it was actually in the Department of Statistics or Mathematics. I'm not sure. I know that sounds crazy to get a degree in something and not know. But this little program, it wasn't so little, but the program was so self-contained. And it was unique and new that I didn't feel like I was much a part of any other department except for that.
What is your relationship with LSE now?
Well, I'm here. I came for this reunion. My relationship with LSE now is from afar, really. I mean, because I live so far away, I'm not involved in kind of ongoing activities related to the school. There are some LSE alumni groups in the United States. If there is one in San Francisco, it's either moribund or inactive in some way. I've not really seen anything about it. And aside from the fact, every time I come to England, I come here and visit the school, even if I just walk around, you know. But that's about it. I don't have much of a relationship with the school now, except extremely good memories.
What do you think of the future of LSE will be?
Well, I think that LSE has carved out a niche for itself. It's a very unusual place, or at least I've always had the impression it was a very unusual place. It's got a solid spot that it kind of owns. It sits on a space that nobody else has in the same way. It's very applied. For example, when I was here, I had to study applied mathematics, and even though I had a PhD in mathematical logic, that was all very abstract, very pure work. And I'll tell you, keeping up with those applied mathematics classes, we had to study queuing theory and dynamic programming and all this stuff. I had to hustle to do it. So it's all very applied, very hands-on, very get your hands dirty, as we say. And as opposed to a lot of other academic experiences that are much more academic and much less related, I think, to the practical world, you know. And, well, anyway, I think so long as the LSE doesn't lose that specialization and doesn't lose that, basically it's carved out a place for itself, that it should have a brilliant future. The kinds of things that are studied here have always been a little bit ahead of the curve. I don't think so much in the information systems world, but in the social sciences particularly, and of course, economics.
Did you have a favorite place on campus?
Not really. I guess, no. I just didn't. When I was here, I was sitting in classroom or, you know, doing something. I wasn't hanging out.
What building were you based in?
Clare Market. Clare Market, which is, I'm not even sure that's the name of it. And then my office, when I had a job here, was in Lincoln Chambers, which is right, so I would look out the window. I was on the third floor of that building, and I'd look right down from my office, from my desk, at the old curiosity shop. And I thought that was a kick. I absolutely loved it. I mean, I felt like I was in a different century in that building and looking at the old curiosity shop. And I love Lincoln's Inn Fields. I mean, I think it's just a sensational place. So I did go over there occasionally.
After you finished being a researcher at LSE, what did you go on to do after that?
I went to work. I went back to California, and I got a job at the Stanford Research Institute, which at that time was still very much connected to Stanford University. It has spun off and become a separate entity, but and I worked in the management consulting field.
What would you say were some of the negatives, any of the negatives of studying at LSE?
The negatives? Well, I'm sure there must have been some. I mean, I'm sure that I was, I was always worried whether or not I was going to be able to cut it, you know, whether I was going to make the grade and everything. So that was upsetting and stressful. I wouldn't really say there were any negatives. I was studying a brand new field. I had to really keep up. I mean, I was paddling fast, you know, while I was here. So if there were negatives, I didn't have the luxury of sitting around thinking, well, I don't like this. This is no good. I did get worried when I thought I wasn't doing as well, but then in the end I did do well, but I didn't feel that way as I was going through the course. I didn't feel like, oh, I've got this made in the shade. I'm brilliant at this. I never felt that way. I felt like I was struggling.
Very challenging.
Yeah, very challenging. Well, there are a couple of kind of really interesting experiences. I was here in 1978 on the staff, actually, when the library, at that time it was the new library, was opened. And there was a really fine ceremony to dedicate it and everything. And the Queen Mother was here. The Queen Mum, because she was at that time the Chancellor of the University of London. So I got to meet her, and I was just flabbergasted by the whole thing. I thought it was so cool. And I remember being very nervous about whether or not I was wearing the right clothing. Not because I thought she would make any judgments about my clothing, but you want to honor the occasion, but not be overdressed. And, you know, and after all, I was here working. I mean, I couldn't very well bring my prom dress now, could I? So I remember being, I thought that was a really special experience. But there was another really funny thing that happened, and there was a professor who was retiring, and I don't remember who he was. No one I ever studied under. And they had a cream tea for him in the senior common room for his retirement. And again, as a member of staff, I attended this. And I think maybe two or three of them were retiring, and they asked each of them to mention something about if there had any students that were particularly interesting or had gone on to win Nobel Prizes or whatever. And so this particular professor said, well, yes, I remember one student very well, one Michael Jagger, who learned the lessons of economics best of all. And of course, he was referring to Mick Jagger, who had made an awful lot of money being a musician. So and that was a scream. I mean, because the whole thing was so austere, the occasion was so, everybody was so polite and being so proper and everything. And when he talked about Mick Jagger, it was hilarious.
How did you find working here compared to studying here?
Well, I really loved working here. I think that some of the pressure was off. The job was very demanding, and I never knew exactly. I was always wondering if I was doing the right thing, if I was, you know, barking up the wrong tree, and so it wasn't easy. It wasn't like I sailed through it, but the pressure was off from getting the degree, and so and that's when I particularly got to know some of these other professors and everything. I absolutely loved it. It was almost heaven. I mean, you know, it was to be surrounded by all this excellence all the time. It was just wonderful.
Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Why don't you turn off the recorder for just a minute? I didn't have any idea what this